Sometimes you're not sure how we respond with these holidays. Sometimes everybody shows up, and sometimes we miss a lot for the holidays. It is what it is, but we are here today, right? All right. Well, I don't know about you, but, you know, even with this song, I want to finish well. That's just not what I do. Not just want to finish well with what we do in the Lord, but just finishing well in our life for Him, the life that He's given to us. Because you got one lap around, one lap around the track, and you don't get any redos. So you got one opportunity to make your life count. And I hope that you want to do it well for the Lord. Satan's already stole a lot of years from some of us. Amen. So we want to do what we can just to do well with what time we have left. But we are in a series right now. We're right dab smack in the middle of it here. And we are in Revelations here, chapter 2, finishing it up today. And it's the church of Thyatira. So it is that church. So we talked about Ephesus losing. That church did great things, lost their love for Jesus. They fell out of love. Smyrna was faithful, was a very persecuted and put down church, and Lord spoke a letter to them. And then Pergamum was that compromise. They compromised their beliefs. Not a good thing. They compromised their beliefs. And so today we're going to look at the church of Thyatira. And remember these churches all. If you had a car back then, you can get to all of them in about 3 hours. So they're not that far apart. But every church has its own personality. Jesus should be the focal of every church. If it is a godly church, Jesus loves the church. He loves the churches. He loves the full church, but also these letters. People say, "Well, I don't really need to go to church. I don't need to listen. I can do it this way. I can do that way." Listen, Jesus had 7 letters written to 7 specific churches. So this whole book is written to us as the church, the bride of Christ. But also, in this revelation, He sent out 7 letters to specific churches. Yeah. So those churches were important to Him. He loves them, but He gave them some who He was. And we're going to talk about who He was. We're going to talk about the good things that they're doing. Some of the churches had some good things. And also, if they were doing something they shouldn't be doing or something they should be doing, He also speaks to that and gives a way to fix it. And aren't we thankful that God gives us an opportunity to fix our messes and gives us time with that? But the church is, God created the church for us to be together, to fellowship together, to gather ourselves together, to be encouraged and strengthened together, and also to eat meals together, to take part of communion together, to pray together, to worship together, to sing together, and all those things together. But here we're in a world now that believers don't want to come to church. I was in a conversation this week with some visitors from Alabama, and I asked them, how many churches need pastors in Alabama, in Southern Baptist churches? He says, Southern Baptist churches alone in Alabama right now, we are 500 pastors short. There are 500 churches that need pastors. Now, we don't understand that in Indiana because we only have 422, maybe 20. But down there, they have 3,250 Southern Baptist churches. We don't understand that. But once you go south of the Ohio River, Southern Baptist is huge. Southern Baptists have, just in America, have more Southern Baptist churches than there are McDonald's, Starbucks, and then Walmart's all put together. So Southern Baptist is very, very big. It is the largest Protestant denomination in the world. And in America, we send out millions and millions and millions of dollars into the foreign world, into the foreign missions. And so that's one thing I love about what Southern Baptists are. But we are struggling right now, just like other denominations, on their keeping the pulpits filled. And so I was imagining that, wow, I didn't even, you know, if you look over into, with just Alabama has needing 500 pastors, also know that Texas, which has like 7,000, 5,000 to 7,000 Southern Baptist churches. I'm just wondering how many of the pulpits there are empty, because that is pretty much Texas and Oklahoma are pretty much the belt buckle of the Bible Belt for the most part. I mean, there's just a lot of Southern Baptist churches down there. But we are struggling in that area. And it's very, when a church is looking for a pastor, it's very important that they find the right one. And we're going to see today that just in the sense of teaching, that, you know, our teachers, that we need to make sure we have the right teachers in play. So we're going to go into God's Word here this morning, and we're going to be in Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 18, but I want to pray again. Father, again, as we open up your Word, Lord, give us understanding of it. Give us a peace of mind of it, Lord. If it convicts our heart, may it do so, if your will wants, but also just we know that you speak in ways that we may, that sometimes you just do things in a way that it's unexplainable. And I just pray, Father, today that you would just continue to be the awesome God that you are here at New Life and continue to draw us to you. Give us ears to hear, Lord. Let's put out those things in our mind that need to be shut down for now, and let's put our mind and our ears upon what you have to say today in your Word. We love you and we thank you for it. Be with us during this time as you have already, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus writes this letter here, and this is the fourth letter out of seven. And this church has got some things going for it and not going for it. But he always begins, "Write to the angel of the church in Thyatira, thus says the Son of God, the one whose eyes are like a fiery flame and whose feet are like fine bronze." Here we find that again, this letter is written, as we believe, to the pastors of those places, because they're going to read it and they're going to share it. And he's got this authority piece that he's going to have to fix it, because if he doesn't fix it with the people, then he's held responsible. But the church is also held responsible as well. And so the letter is written to the church of Thyatira. I want to share with you right now, if I have a letter that's in my name, you don't need to read it, do you? Not really. If you have a letter, someone sends you a letter, and you get mail, no one else needs to read it. It's got your name on it. But here, this church is written to Thyatira. Now, there's a letter that he writes to Sardis, which we haven't got to yet. He wrote a letter to Ephesus, and there were some personal things in there. And what's amazing with the Lord here, he's allowed us to get into this and be a reader and a listener to what Jesus is writing to this specific church, because there's some specific things he wants them to know. So he says that he is the Son of God, reminding them who he is, that he has eyes and he is watching everything, that the Lord does not miss anything. His feet go everywhere. Nothing can keep him back. Nothing can hide from him. This church is open. And even if this church wanted to hide its things, the Lord still sees it. Just like the Lord sees this church and every other church that exists, the Lord sees all of it. Sometimes I'm always reminded when I read these, Lord, what would you say to the church of New Life? What would you say to other churches? But I would be more specifically wanting to know what he would say to this church, because we are part of this church. But then I even get more personal and say, Lord, what would you say if you were writing this letter to me? So I look at that and I just say, you know what? All I got to do is just pray and talk to the Lord. The Lord shares things when I pray. And when I read his Word, he reveals some things. And here he's revealing that he sees everything. And he's saying that I see all these things that are going on. My eyes see everything. My feet are everywhere. And he's stating his piece, that he has the position to do this. So this letter is written, and he says this in verse 19. I know your works, your love, your faithfulness, service, and endurance. I know that your last works are greater than the first. I believe he's commending this church for about six things. One of those is he commends them for their works. Sometimes he would write a letter and say, hey, you aren't serving. You guys aren't working. This church, he says, I know your works. You're working. You're serving, and that makes the Lord happy. Using your gifts that he's given, and he is happy about that. He also says, your love. Now, we saw a church that didn't love, right? The church of Ephesus. He says, I have this against you. You've fallen out of love with me. You need to fall back in love with me. You fall very far from your first love. You get that back. Here he says, I know you love. I know you have love. That's a good peace that they have love, but also faithfulness. Faithfulness. He talks to him about faithfulness. You know, some of us today are struggling with loving others. Some of us today may be struggling with our faithfulness. Yeah, with our faithfulness. Smyrna was also commended for their faithfulness as they were faithful through persecution. But he says your faithfulness as well. But he also says your service. Your service. So they're faithful in their service and in their endurance. Endurance means that they don't stop and they go for a while, but they're long lasting. They keep going. They keep going. Another word for endurance is commitment. Listen, we may think that that's not a big thing, but look in the church today, that's a big thing. To be acknowledged that you are committed to the Lord, that you're committed in the church, that you're serving, you're doing those things, that you're committed, that you are a committed believer. Okay? These are all things that he is watching. He sees these things. Okay? He sees these things. It's not about lip service. He's not coming. He wasn't saying, hey, I'm going to come check you out. No, he's saying, I've already checked you out. This is what I see. A lot of people give lip service. Yeah, I'm going to do this. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Yep, I'll be there. I'll show up. And the thing is, it's like, yeah, sometimes things happen and people can't do what they said they were going to do. But when people say, hey, I'm going to be there, I'm going to show up, but never do show up, never do what they say they're going to do, that is a person who just speaks things and just doesn't do anything. Well, this church was commended for being committed within, so they had endurance. And then he says in number 6, he says, I know that your last works are greater than the first. So here it is, these works that they're doing for the Lord, they are better now than they were from the very beginning. So this church is growing in what they do for the Lord. These are all positive pieces that they are growing. He says, I see them works and they are better than when they first, but you, they were better than when you first started. And then what would be beautiful if he'd say, you guys are doing great. End of the story. Stay faithful. But it's not. It's not. But sometimes when we read these letters, we want to go to the negative and forget the positive. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord always talks about, always in all these letters, he talks about who he is. He reminds that group in different ways how he describes himself, because they needed to be described in that specific way for them to understand something. And then he begins to talk about the good things. There's a few in here that struggle with no good things, but here it is. He starts with the good things. So I want you, when you read and reread these, remember the good things are good things. They are good things. These are good things these churches are doing, and he is blessing. The Lord sees that, and he commends those things. And that's what he did. He commended them for 6 things. So those are good things to be commended for. But he does go into verse 20. But I have this against you. Oh boy, here we go again. Jesus has something else against us. Let me just stop there for a minute. Sometimes if we would hear the Lord say, I have this against you, how many of you would think that if the Lord would say, I have this against you, you would already know what it was? Most likely you would already know what the Lord has against you. It's that conviction that's in there that you're not dealing with. It's those things that you're, that one thing that you do, or that 2 or 3 things you do that you know you shouldn't be doing. That's it right there. He says, but I have this against you. Let me just tell you, it never said that Jesus stopped loving these churches. He never said, you don't keep doing this, I'm gonna stop loving you. He never stops loving. Amen for that. But he will speak in truth and righteousness. And he's going to say it. Verse 20, but I have this against you. Oh, man, there's the part of the letter that's hard. You tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and teaches and deceives my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat meat sacrificed to idols. This is Jesus' disapproval. This is his part where he is saying some things that the people don't want to hear it, but they're going to hear it. But it's also bringing the darkness, the sin, into light. Because what they would do is they'd get these letters, and this people would get it, this preacher would get it, pastor and the elders, whatever they are, they would read it. But then they would get out and read it in front of the people. Could you imagine this? You tolerate that woman, Jezebel. Now, this is not the same Jezebel in the back of the day of Elijah. Same traits, though. Same traits, not that wicked queen of the Old Testament. Some people, you know, this woman here is doing the same kind of things because the woman that was the wicked queen was leading Israel into adultery, into worshiping Baal and all these other things, and she was a murderer and all this stuff. And so this woman is named Jezebel. I don't think that is her name, but I think she's representing the Jezebel. Jezebel's brought up a few other times, but this woman is not a good woman. You tolerate the woman. Basically, what does it mean? You're tolerating. You know it's wrong, but you're not dealing with it. Now, I want to tell you, there's ways to deal with things in the church when things aren't right. Some people want to go in and they want to headhunt, and sometimes church members want to cut heads off and they want to be done. You've got to boot them out. Other times, some church members are always like this. Well, you know, we gotta forgive. We just gotta let it go. And other times, people's like, well, let's just hide it from everybody and we can put it under the rug and we can act like it never happened and all those things. And people want to deal with things differently. And I always go to the fact, I always want like this, I've said this, what was it if it was your kid? What if it was your wife? You headhunters, you know what I'm saying? The people that want to just bash, bash, bash. It's different sometimes when the shoe's on the other foot. But it doesn't mean to hide it. To deal with it, to deal with a problem, you have to go and a leader needs to pray about that. Sometimes you have to confront. You have to confront right on the spot. You have to confront it right there when it's going on. And we had to do that a few times here at New Life before. But it is, don't make a scene. Oh, you can't hide that, whatever. No, we need to deal with it, because if it doesn't, then when it gets into a mess about what's really getting ready to happen here. So we see that this woman comes in and she's teaching. She calls herself a prophetess. And I want to remind you that a true prophet never tells anything that's wrong and doesn't just stand up. Listen, if you go to a church and I believe somebody's up there just prophesying the whole time and they're next week prophesying the other time, I'm out. I'm out right out the gate, especially when they start talking about end times. Oh, Jesus is going to come this day and Jesus is going to come this year. He's going to come this time. Nope, I'm out. Because you know why I'm out? Because I read God's word. It says no man knows the hour, not the angels or the Son of God. Only the Father in heaven knows. Because we're following, what we do is what we do. Sometimes we get into a church and we end up following the man behind the pulpit and not the man who is over a whole church. That's what's going on in a lot of churches today. Church members are following a man and not following the Lord. So when a man messes up and he falls into sin, a lot of times the church is wanting to cover things up. The church is wanting to hide things. The church is wanting to let it go standing there and with any accountability. This woman has no accountability. She's teaching and deceiving. Jesus says she's teaching and deceiving my servants, is what he says. And the sexual immorality and eating meat sacrificed to idols. She's bringing in different beliefs. That's all that Baal stuff, all that junk that she's bringing in there. This woman's like a forerunner to the apostate to the church, where you take church beliefs and you change them. Did you just hear what I said? We have denomination, man. Sometimes it feels like I can get in trouble saying what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Denominations that are changing over into the sexuality thing, allowing people who want to be whatever they want to be behind this pulpit. Don't listen to, just don't believe what I'm saying. Go back and read the book of Leviticus. Go back and read the first chapter of Romans. That's an abomination to put a homosexual standing saying, I'm a homosexual and I'm going to preach to God's people. That's an abomination. Now listen, I will love, I have had great conversations with homosexuals and lesbians, and I've even talked to some transgenders. I love people. But if somebody's going to jump off of a cliff, I'm not going to tell them, have a great day. I love them, but I'm going to try to talk them out of jumping off of a cliff. But this is what's happening. Where denominations are changing, and those churches that are trying to be godly in there have to pay their way out. They have to get out if they want to get out, and they got to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to get out. And then where there's a big battle now trying to divide, and you know who the author of that is, don't you? Satan is the author of that, dividing God's people, and people are in there. And if I was to sit up here and preach all that junk and that sinful stuff, most of you would leave, and I would say, praise the Lord, you'd leave. People are now going to churches and visiting churches. You can't look at a building and see a cross at the top and expect you're going to hear the word of God when you come in. You gotta check it out first. You have to check it out first to see if it really is a place that preaches and teaches. Listen, I don't get to pick and choose what I want to believe. You got to quit saying that, oh, this is what I think. Now, there's some scriptures we might struggle with, the sons of God. We might struggle with Genesis chapter 6. There's a few chapters in Ezekiel that we're going to struggle with. Sometimes God's word is really difficult. But that's okay. It makes you keep studying, makes you keep reading. But I'm telling you, you can't sit there on your opinion thinking, well, I'm going to believe this. I get to choose that. You don't get to choose those things. You need to work that out with the Holy Spirit and reading God's Word. Because if you don't know God's Word, I'm telling you, false prophets and preachers, false preachers are going to be preaching, and they're going to say some things, and you're going to think, oh, yeah, that, because it sounds good. He's got charisma. He knows how to flow it. He's got a name. He's got a title. Look at all the people that are there. All that. False preachers have a way of luring people. Because it's really not the guy himself that's working all that stuff. It's what's inside of him. If you're preaching the gospel and you're teaching the gospel, that's the Holy Spirit. If you're preaching against the gospel and you're preaching things that are not in the Bible, then that's of another spirit. And this woman, he says, you tolerate that woman. She teaches and deceives my servants into sexual immorality. That's what's going on in the churches, a lot of churches today. But we love people. That does not trump everything. That's just one thing. We're to love people. That's not the thing that we, like, loving everybody lets everybody get away with what they want. No. No, we all got people. I have people in my family that live different than me. Okay. I have people in my family that live in sin on a regular basis. I love them. I do. But I'm not going to just say I love them and just let everything be, and then I'm not going to pray for them. I'm just going to accept all that. No. I love them as a family member. But here we're talking about, the reason I'm bringing it up, because this is what we're talking about. If we're talking about something else, we'd be talking about something, but we're talking about sexual immorality. We talk a lot about drugs, addiction, we talk about just addictions overall, we talk a lot about that here. But today, this is a lot about sexual immorality, because once we get into the sexual sins of life, we are contaminating the temple, and the temple is the body that God puts His Holy Spirit into. And once you contaminate that in a sexual, sinful way, it's contaminated. And he says, Jesus says, you got a woman there that's deceiving my servants, teaching my servants. Wow. For sexual immorality. And to eat meat sacrificed to idols. And if you know anything about your Old Testament, these are two things that God's people battled for years, for generations. Golden calf with Moses, you'll see it, the Asher poles in the book of 1 Kings, 1 Chronicles. Hey, when the kings wouldn't remove the Asher poles or Baal worship or all these other things, and even some of the kings would even put their own children through a fire to worship a god, the god of Moloch. You see all these gods and idols that they worshiped, and bringing that back in now, trying to bring it into the house of God. And Jesus says, I caught you. And then what it is, what one person can do, if you allow them to teach, what one person can do to begin to cause a cancer, a sinful cancer into the church body, what one person can do if the church leadership allows it. One person. When that woman began to start passing out these little flyers to all our high school students and our young people at this church and began to start scaring some of our young people, I went up and confronted that woman right off the bat. You can't do that here. Why? That's the word of God. No, it's not, ma'am. That is not the word of God. That's your words. I said, no, that's your words. You're done. And just palm her off. Like the woman, love the woman as a person. And now that woman is in a home. Her mind is all over the place. You don't mess with the word of God and think, you don't try to speak for God. Don't, when people say, oh, I got a word for you from the Lord, listen, you be careful when you listen to that. Oh, I got a word from the Lord from you. Well, it better be scripture. But sometimes God does speak through people. I don't want to take that away. Sometimes God does speak to people. But I want to tell you, when that person is telling you that the God has given them a word, I'm telling you what, if they are not nervous when they do it, then I step away. You can feel the nervousness in them. Because any time God's called you to do or say something, listen, you're going to be a little nervous. That's holy. That's the Holy Spirit working through people. And people just walk around very cockily, very proudly. I got a word for you. And then turn around, I got a word for you. I got a word for you. And unfortunately, we need to say, listen, sir, ma'am, I got a word for you. You need to be quiet. Because your words are just, no. Satan works through that. I'm telling you, Satan works through that. And people go home thinking, yep, I'm healed. Or, yep, I'm going to be okay. I can live. Yep, I'm okay. I can live in that live-in relationship. Or I can have that girlfriend on the side because somebody said, no, that's all this stuff that this thing is talking about. This letter is saying she calls herself a prophetess. She calls herself she teaches and deceives my servants to do sinful things. And it picks out sexual immorality. And listen, folks, if you look in the United States, we are a sexual immorality and a downhill spiral down. We're spiraling downhill so bad. So bad. So bad. And Jesus calls it out. And the thing is, when Jesus was talking to Ephesus, he needed to talk to Ephesus about love. When he's talking to Sardis, we'll get to Sardis, he's going to talk to about some other things. And when he gets to Philadelphia, he's going to say some pretty cool things. But today, he says, this letter is going to Thyatira. And you're a mess. This is the church that became corrupt. And a false teacher can corrupt a church, or a false pastor can corrupt a church faster than three or four other people in the church. It goes quick when it comes from a leader. And verse 21, he says this, I gave her time to repent. So God is patient. God desires that we return, and God is patient. Sometimes we need to be patient when people are not doing right. Come on now, amen? We Baptist church, sometimes we need to be patient with others who are not living right. Even though it upsets us, we need to be patient in praying and being faithful and bringing those causes and those pleas to the Lord and praying. We need to be patient as the Lord is patient. He says, I gave her time to repent. But here's the thing. But she does not want to repent of her sexual immorality. Look, I will throw her into a sick bed and those who committed adultery with her into great affliction unless they repent of her works. So he is saying this, I gave her time to repent. I gave her time to repent, because if she could repent, then she could have came back and said, I was teaching wrong. Church, I was teaching wrong, and I'm sorry that I was teaching wrong. But the scripture says, Jesus says, but she does not want to repent. So if Jesus gives us time to repent, that means that the Lord was upon a person, pulling that person, drawing that person, trying to get that person, pulling that person. But I believe that the Lord gives us free will. Even though God knows everything, it's complicated. Let's just not try to put our mind in God's mind, because you'll be a mess. Because we're sinful. We're people. We're saved. If we know the Lord, we have the Lord. But we also struggle, and we have a hard time understanding things. So we lean upon the Lord, and he says she does not want to repent of her sexual immorality. So he says, I'm gonna put the hammer down. I'm going to throw her on a sick bed. Basically, Jesus says, I'm going to pretty much take her out. That's what you do with cancer. You got to get rid of it. It'll kill. It'll kill the whole thing. Kill the whole body. So Jesus, I'm going to put her on a sick bed. But it's basically, when you're in a sick bed, guess what? You can't go to church. He's going to remove her out. It's time to get her out. And the Lord says, you're not going to do it. Listen, if you're not going to take care of it, Jesus says, I'm going to take care of it. And it's best if we take care of it. It's best if Thyatira took care of it. But he didn't say, I'm not dealing with the church anymore. I don't know. I'm coming in. I'm taking over. Because Jesus is the head of the church. Amen. And he says, I'm going to throw her in a sick bed. That's what I'm going to do. And all those people that are following her, because they don't have to follow her, I'm going to put them under great affliction too. Church, there's a church that I know of, and they took a pastor, and for it was not a godly reason. I may not agree with some things. It's okay. You don't always have to agree with your pastors when it comes like, oh, we're going to go over here and do this and that. You don't always have to agree. But you need to pray for the pastors, you know, pray for the leadership. You need to go in the mirror, look in there, and say, hey, am I not agreeing because I have an attitude or whatever, I'm not agreeing, whatever. You need to make sure your spirit's right. And it doesn't mean just because, we pick a tan roof, and some people want a blue or red, it got tan. You don't get mad at your brothers and sisters for picking a tan roof, amen? We're still here today. But this church decided they want to boot out a pastor. They get in, they vote the pastor out. But it caused a lot of problems. It caused a lot of problems because they didn't like or was some things that he was doing. There was no adultery, no embezzlement. This is a few years back. And then so they get him out. But I want to tell you, there was about six families that were a part of that. And those six families, God came in, put the hammer down. And it began, this church had a spirit of fear in it. Every family took a major hit. Every family took a major hit. Every family took one major hit. From a child being born with severe mental issues, from another hand being cut off, to a loss of a major big job, to another family member, a family and a member in there committing suicide. Every one of those hits. And the fear of God came over that church. People were almost just afraid. Rightfully so. And they listened to some people that were trying to do what they wanted. They wanted to be in charge. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. And let me tell you, when it says, thus says the Son of God, the one whose eyes are like fiery flame and those whose feet are like a fine bronze, which God sees every, Jesus sees everything. Jesus saw how that church treated that man. But he also says this to the people that were a part of that, and they would, he says this, unless they repent of her works, they need to also repent. And those people never repented. The six families didn't repent at that time. They took it as a great victory. He says, I'm coming. I'm going to take care of business unless they repent. Aren't we thankful that God gives us opportunities to repent? Aren't we thankful that he says, I give you time to repent? That's one thing I tell people. I said, listen, you may not, you know, man, I love you, man. Or, you know, hey, I love you. Just, you know what you're doing is wrong. Yeah, I do, I do. I'm telling you, the Lord may give you time, but it's not going to be as much you think it is. And the hammer's not going to come down the way you think it's going to come down. It's not going to come when you think it's going to come down. It's going to come down on you when you least expect it and when you need to hit it. And when he needs to get it, he's going to get it with you, and you're going to come crawling back. And I hope you do. I hope you do come crawling back to whatever it is you need to get right with the Lord, because we are so blinded. Sin will blind an individual so bad that they'll destroy everything in front of them, even the things that the people that they love, because sin is so hard and tough. He says, 23, I will strike her children dead. See, this is Jesus is angry. Did you know Jesus loves, but also Jesus can become angry? He says, I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am the one who examines minds and hearts, and I will give to each one according to your works. So he brings back that works. You know what? Because when you're working for the Lord and you're serving the Lord, you ain't out there doing that other junk. Very simple. I give you talent. And the Lord says, I give you talent. What are you doing with it? But he says, I'm going to strike your children dead. Some people say, well, how dare God do that? How dare God would even do something like that? We always have to look why. It goes back to this woman is deceiving the people that are trying to learn about God and Jesus and try to draw close. And she's deceiving them and getting them very, many of them are very babes in the Lord, very young Christians or people that are, and then they fall into that. But he says, I will give to each of you according to your works. Do you see that? That's not, your salvation isn't by works. But your blessings can come by some of the works that God. So he's going to give each according to your works. He says this in the closing, I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, this is the message for all everybody else that's not a part of all that big mess. He says, do not hold this teaching who haven't, here we go, this is a, who haven't known the so-called secrets of Satan. Jesus is saying all that stuff they were doing, that's the works of Satan. The secret stuff. As they say, I am not putting any other burden on you, Jesus. And he says, only hold on to what you have until I come, and the one who conquers and the one who keeps my works to the end, I will give him authority over the nations, and he will rule them with an iron scepter. He will shatter them like pottery, as that's the Lord Jesus. Just as I have received this from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Here again, he's reminding people, tweak those ears, turn those ears on, listen, listen. But he tells them, I'm not going to put any more burden on you. Because you know what? It's hard to clean a church that has bad and corrupt teaching. You know what I mean by that? You can take the teacher out, just like Jesus is going to take the teacher out. But you still got all the stuff that was taught. And then you got those people who are following. And some of them are going to, they're going to repent. Right? They're going to repent. And the other ones are going to be on that sick bed pretty much too. But there's still going to be some in there that repented, and that's a good thing. But here's the hard part. Once you learn something, you can't unlearn it. That makes sense? Once you learn something of darkness, you can't unlearn it. It's something that Satan's going to poke from time to time. Going to remind you, that praying's not working, but you know what? You can always do this circle thing, throw some sticks in it. And there's this person you can pray to. There's this ceremony you can do. And I believe that's why he said, I'm not going to put any more burden on you, because that stuff is heavy stuff. Anybody here that's ever been, don't raise your hand. I know some of you, because I know some of you pretty personally. Some of you I know have dabbled into witchcraft and those kind of things. Here's the thing. you still know some of that. If you don't practice it, but it's still there. You can't unknow something. It's like when you watch a movie and you see a scene and you go, oh, I shouldn't have watched that. You can't undo it. Once you see it, you see it. God give us the mind to memorize what we see and what we hear. There is nothing more evil than understanding and knowing the tools of darkness. Being in there. Yes, we are overcomers with Jesus Christ. And we can defeat anything because Jesus can defeat anything. And I can, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and not just know it, but to experience that scripture, and I can walk on it and put it in my path. But once you know something, you can't unknow it. Anybody that uses drugs knows what it feels like to use drugs and be an addict and live in that lifestyle. It's a memory that they go, like, I don't want to go back to that. I remember what it is. But there's also another voice that says, hey, you know what? You can just, you're in a bad time in your life. And you hear that voice that says, why don't you just run back? Come on. You know where to go. You know what to get. And just let it all go. And other people in here go, Jimmy, what are you talking about? Yeah, you don't know. But you may know something else. Here it is. I know that Jesus is the, he loves the church. And inside the church are people that he loves. And churches become broken. No matter how beautiful they are on the outside, a church can be broken on the inside. But also how ugly a church may be, they may be beautiful on the inside. But even Jesus said, we saw this with perfect. Even so, it could be a broken church and a poor church and all those things. And he sees all the good. He still say, but I still have this against you. There's still no excuse. Sin, there's no excuse. And Jesus says, Thyatira, you got a teacher there. And let me tell you, when you read this over and over, you begin to sense and you begin to feel and understand, knowing that this teacher is very powerful. Or they would have got rid of her. She's a very powerful teacher, a very powerful person, probably very well known, and has a very strong charisma personality. And people are drawn to her. If she had a Sunday school class, it would probably be the biggest one. One, because she's got all those characteristics and all that, but also because, ooh, she's got something new to share. In those itchy ears, to hear something new. Folks, be careful who you let speak into your life. Be careful who you follow on your social media when it comes to those things. Check things out. Check preachers out when you listen to them on bot radio. Even if it's just bot radio, you got to be careful. On the weekends, there are different types of preachers. Doesn't mean. And we can always say, yeah, but they love Jesus. Listen, yeah, they believe in Jesus, but we know what Scripture says. Even the demons believe in Jesus, believe in God. But they will not inherit the kingdom. I don't know where your life is with the Lord today, but I pray that it's growing, that you're drawing closer to the Lord. I pray that you pray for this church, that we will have good teachers, good biblical teachers, and good biblical preaching. And I pray that you pray that we would all begin to read our Bibles like we should. Father, as we come to this place in our service here, as we're finishing up this Church of Thyatira with this dark figure who is teaching evil things. I pray for our people, Lord. I pray for our church today that they come to the place of understanding, knowing that you give them discernment on what's true and what's not when they're listening to others. And I pray, Father, right now that your Spirit would just be upon us as we continue to work toward the end of this service, that our hearts might be right with you in a way that you would see that was fit and good with you. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So let's go ahead and stand.